The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Welcome, everyone. It's nice to be here. So tonight I'd like to talk about a practical meditation topic, actually. I'd like to talk about paying attention to the breathing. We don't talk about this that much. We talk about it in our introductory classes, but then we just kind of go along and just assume that everybody knows about this. And in my own experience, I have learned quite a bit about how to pay attention to the breathing in a way that doesn't get tight or constricted, and so I thought I'd share some of that with you this evening. In our tradition, in our meditation tradition, the breath is quite a central meditation experience to pay attention to. In the Buddha's teachings, he put it as the first practice within the Satipatthana Sutta, the Sutta on the Four Foundations of Mindfulness, where he basically covered his meditation instructions for the entire the entirety of our experience. And the very first instruction in there is around paying attention to the breathing. It's a great object to connect with and a great experience to connect with because it's always with us. And so we don't have to do anything special to have the breathing happen. You know, we can just connect with the breathing that is already happening in our being. So this practice of paying attention to the breathing can be kind of done or practiced in different ways. We can practice it with the aim of settling the mind down, of kind of stabilizing the mind, quieting the mind down, basically in a concentration, in a mode of concentration. And it's a great practice for this. It works by basically we put our attention onto the breath, and then whenever we notice that the mind has wandered off of the breath, we come back to the breath. We let go of whatever it is our mind has wandered to, whether it's another experience in the body or a thought or a sound. We just gently try to let go of everything that's not the breath. So it's a really simple kind of meditation where we just use our mindfulness to keep track of the breath and not the breath. We don't have to do too much more than that. Just recognize, oh, I'm paying attention to the breath or not the breath. And when it's not the breath, just coming back. And this picking one thing like this, it wouldn't have to be the breath. You could pick the experience of hearing, or you could pick some kind of a repetitive mantra in your mind. When the mind settles on a single experience like this, it tends to settle the mind down, tends to make the mind become much calmer, more quiet. And so it has this capacity. Another way that we use this experience of breathing is for the cultivation of understanding and wisdom, of insight. We turn our attention to not just the kind of the breathing in and out, and not just the rhythmic experience of the breathing, but we get a little more interested in the details of the experience of breathing. You get interested in the actual sensations of breathing and how they change. And it is that focus on changing experience that begins to take us into the realm of an insight practice. Tonight I'd primarily like to talk about the settling of the mind with the breathing in a kind of a concentration practice. And I'll just barely touch on breathing as an insight practice. There's enough to say about the breathing as a concentration practice. And what we'll talk about tonight, or what I'll go over with you around how to connect with the breathing will be more generally applicable. It's what I talk about tonight is not just going to apply to the experience of breathing, but it will apply to whatever you choose to bring your attention to. So what we're going to talk about tonight will be very generally applicable in your meditation practice. So one of the pieces I want to kind of highlight about the breath, and one of the interesting aspects of why the breath is a good meditation subject, whether for concentration or for mindfulness, is that the breath often has a connection with what the mind is feeling. So there's a kind of a resonance between what's going on in the mind and what the breathing is doing. So for instance, when we're feeling some strong emotions, often our breathing is impacted. You know, if we're angry, our breathing may get more fast, more quick. If we're fearful, it may get more shallow. So, you know, just thinking about your own, if we're anxious, it can be perhaps a little bit agitated. The breathing might be a little bit rough. It won't be quite so smooth if there's agitation in the mind. So there's a way that the mental state can impacts the way the body breathes. And this makes perfect sense because there is such a connection between the mind and the body. And also if we do have some kind of a mental agitation or some kind of an emotion going on, we can sometimes calm it down by consciously breathing rhythmically, you know, kind of breathing in a smooth, deeper way. Sometimes we can settle ourselves down. And so we can see that just the actual act of a conscious kind of breathing can impact the mind as well. So I'll come back to this connection with the mind and the body. It's actually an important piece of this this practice of paying attention, because what we're doing, we're using the mind to pay attention to a bodily experience, and so the being aware of how they're connected is a helpful piece of our practice with the breathing. So talking about or exploring breath as a concentration practice, first I want to talk about this word concentration a little bit. It's a typical translation of the term samadhi. But the English overtones of the term concentration, I think sometimes inspire us to act in ways with the meditation that are not so helpful. So the term concentration often for us means a kind of a restricting of attention, a narrowing of attention, or it means an excluding, a kind of a pushing away of things that are outside of the realm of our attention. It can lead this kind of understanding of this term, if I need to get concentrated, can tend to create a meditation or a mind that is tight and constricted around what it's trying to pay attention to. It kind of goes in and latches on to the experience, you know, holds on tightly. And that we think that that's what concentration is about, that holding tightly to some experience. Actually, the way that concentration deepens is not through a tightening or a holding, but is more of an allowing and settling. So I like some other translations of this term for samadhi: composure, collectedness, settledness. All of these give a kind of a different sense of what we're after, of the state that we're after. So we can concentrate by latching on to the breath and holding tightly to it. But that kind of concentration that is developed tends to be brittle. It tends to be broken pretty quickly, pretty easily. So it doesn't have a lot of stability. It's kind of very narrow and rigid, rather than being broad and grounded. So the kind of concentration that supports our practice, or this collectedness, or this composure that supports our practice, it's not a kind of a restricting of the attention or a narrowing of the attention. It's more of a kind of attention that includes our whole being, or allows the breath to suffuse our whole being. And in fact, when the Buddha described the states of concentration, he used some analogies for... He often used analogies for his teachings, and when he talked about the concentration that comes from mindfulness of breathing, he talked about how... Well, he talked about four different analogies. He gave four different analogies, all of which give a sense of this kind of pervading experience, this kind of sense of the breath suffusing through the whole being. The first analogy is, I guess at the time of the Buddha, to make bath powder, they had some kind of a powder to make like a soap. They had a powder, and then they added some water to it, and then they kind of kneaded that powder so that it became a ball. And they you know, pressed and massaged that ball until the water was suffused through that ball of bath powder, and then it was able to be used. And he said, he used that as an analogy for the way we kind of suffuse the breathing and the awareness through our body. He said it's just like that, you know, kneading of the water through the bath powder. Now, the water has to become pervaded through the entirety of the bath powder to function properly. So that's one analogy he used. Another analogy he used, he said that the experience can be like the welling up of cool water in a spring through a lake, that water from the coolness of that water from the spring eventually wells up and pervades the entire lake. So again, there's a kind of that suffusing sense. Another analogy he used was, he said that a lotus that is growing in a pond, that if that lotus comes and is blooming underneath the surface of the water, then the entirety of that lotus is pervaded with that water. And another analogy he used, it was a little different, the first three were water analogies. Another analogy he used was that it's as if we were entirely wrapped with a very soft cloth, the entirety of our body, so that no part of our body is untouched by that cloth. So the Buddha gave these analogies, and I think that they really give a sense of, you know, so we're not thinking about narrowing the attention down to a small area. We're looking at ways that the experience of breathing can become broad and pervasive through our experience. So in terms of practicing with the breathing, what I found in my own experience is that, you know, when I first started meditating, I heard the instructions about paying attention to the breathing, and I just kind of, you know, leapt on the breathing immediately as soon as I started, you know, sat down, closed my eyes, okay, breathe, in, out, and I just, you know, it's like, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do, so immediately go right to the breath. And what I've learned since then is that it's actually really helpful to take some time to settle in, to create what I call for myself a container of the meditation practice. The container is really, it's got two components to it. It's got the component of relaxation, and it's got the component of alertness. Different minds will probably need to emphasize different aspects of this. My mind tends to be over engaged, tends to be quite restless, tends to be quite active, and so I need to emphasize the relaxing side of that equation. Other people may need to emphasize the alertness side of that equation. But these two together, these two pieces need to come together. And so it's often helpful to begin with at least checking out in your body whether there is any tension, allowing the body, the mind, to relax. So actually, I think of three basic steps to setting up this container of meditation. The first one is relaxation, relaxation of body and mind. The second one is the connecting with the experience of breathing, knowing where you're paying attention to it, knowing where the location is that you're attending to the breathing. And the third one that supports this settling into this container of meditation is to see if you can find a way that the breathing can be comfortable. So I'll talk about each of these. There's a couple of different ways in my own practice that I've seen that I can engage with these three steps of relaxing, of connecting with the breathing, and finding a way to make the breathing comfortable. The first way is kind of through conscious directing of the attention. And if your mind tends to be relaxed already, and you need more on the alertness side, this may be an avenue that will be helpful for you. So to begin with, consciously, the relaxation side, consciously relaxing in much in the way that we did in the guided meditation, finding areas where you're holding tension, letting that tension go. So that's a conscious, that what we did in the early part of the guided meditation was very much a conscious checking in, noticing, consciously scanning through the body, checking the head, checking the neck, checking the shoulders, and seeing, is there tension there? Can I release? Can I soften? Can I relax it a little bit? So it's a very conscious kind of thing. There's an active doing of the mind to follow those steps. So that active doing brings a little bit of alertness to the mind, even as we're trying to relax the body. Then there's the relaxation of mind. And this, this is really about, the mind is often so pulled every which way in terms of our thoughts, in terms of our emotions. We review things that have been happening in the past or project things into the future. And this is not what the mind in relaxation does. The mind in relaxation kind of settles in to the present moment. And so there can also be a kind of a conscious letting go as much as possible, kind of a setting aside of our thoughts, setting aside of our the ways our mind tends to run around, and see if we can just connect with a being in the present moment. So relaxing the body and mind consciously as much as possible. And then connecting in with the breathing. This is the second step. Kind of, again, a conscious checking in. Perhaps as we did in the guided meditation, I suggested check in your nostrils, check in your throat, check in your, the sensations of your rib cage as it expands and contracts, or the movement of your sternum, or the movement of your abdomen. You can kind of go through various areas of your body and see where the breathing is clear to you. Where do you find the sensations clearly? So right now, just even as I say it, can you notice, you know, as you're breathing here, do you notice sensations in your nostrils and in your throat, or the movement of your chest or your diaphragm or your abdomen? Just noticing that you can notice that by turning your attention to those areas. So it's, again, it's a conscious directing of the attention. And with that conscious directing, it is often helpful to see which of those areas the breathing is most clear. You know, if it's particularly clear in the nostrils, that may be a good place for you to connect with the breathing. Or perhaps it's particularly clear for you in the area of the sternum, this area down here. Or perhaps there's a little bit more of a broader sense of a flow of the breathing. So in this conscious checking into the experience of breathing, we can begin to connect with the sensations, know where we are paying attention to the breathing. And then the third step is making the breathing comfortable. And this one I didn't go into in the guided meditation because I had already talked for about 20 minutes and I thought that was plenty. So, but it can be helpful also to explore how it might be possible to have a comfortable breath. And again, this can also be done in a conscious way. One of my teachers, one of the teachers of breath meditation, Tanisaro Bhikkhu, teaches actually a conscious, you know, changing of the rhythm of the breath, seeing if you can find a rhythm that feels a little more comfortable. So exploring, you know, experimenting a little bit, maybe trying breathing a little bit longer and slower, see if that feels comfortable. If that doesn't feel comfortable, then maybe trying a little shorter. You can also explore, you know, longer in and shorter out, or long or shorter in and longer out. It may be that it would feel good, or it might be would feel good. So you can explore that. You can experiment with the way we breathe. Now, this instruction is for concentration practice. I think often in the mindfulness classes that we teach, we mention, you know, we're not here to control the breath, we're here to notice the breath as it is. That's for mindfulness practice. So for concentration practice, finding a way that the breath feels good in the body will support the mind actually wanting to be there with it. So that Tanisaro Bhikkhu also uses this kind of analogy. It's kind of a funny analogy, but kind of worked for me in a way. So he says, this analogy comes from his own teacher. And his own teacher says, you know, if you want to catch an eel, you know, eels are really slippery creatures. And so if you want to catch an eel, you know, it's kind of hard to go down into the water and just grab hold of them because they'll just slither out of your hands. But if you give the eel something it likes, which is, you know, a dead carcass of an animal. If you put a dead carcass of an animal in a jar and put the jar in the water, the eels will just go right into that jar. And so he says his teacher pointed to that and said, you know, what we need to do for our mind is like an eel. It's slippery. It just wants to go all over the place. It wants to run all over like those eels want to swim all over the place. So in order to kind of collect and gather the mind, it's helpful to give it something it likes, something comfortable, something pleasant. And so in a concentration practice, it's okay to kind of incline towards comfortable, incline towards pleasantness. So that's kind of setting up this container, these three steps of relax, connect with the breathing, and comfortable, finding a comfortable breathing. So that's kind of one avenue of exploring those three through consciously directing the mind to do those things. Another way to do this is less mentally directive. It's more of an allowing, an opening to. It's kind of an inclining towards. So in the guided meditation, after we had consciously relaxed the body, I suggested that you might try making a request for the body to relax a little bit more. Did any of you have any experience around that? Did that work for any of you to have a little bit of relaxation? Did you notice any additional relaxation when I suggested that? Any of you? You just raise your hand, yes or no. Yes. Okay, sort of. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's typically for that kind of request to work, the mind needs to be a little bit settled down already. So it wouldn't work so easily if, you know, you're just going in right at the beginning of meditation and you say, okay, may the body relax, you know. It's not so likely to work right away. But we had done a little bit of relaxation already, and so, you know, some of your minds had possibly settled a little bit. So you can play with this. You can play with using a request for inclining the body to relax and inclining the mind to relax. Now, the use of these requests, again, you know, the mind, as I said, the mind needs to be a little bit settled already. But it's kind of like the way that these requests work is it's kind of like dropping a pebble into a pond, you know, a still pond. You drop that pebble into that pond, and there are ripples in that when you drop the pebble in. And it's not so much that that you're making the ripples. It's the dropping of the pebble that allows the ripples to happen. And so what we're doing with this dropping of this request is not trying to do what we're requesting. We just simply drop that in and see what happens. If nothing happens, then yeah, just go on with your meditation. But just you might just play every now and then with just adding a little, dropping a little request like that and seeing what happens. When the more settled the mind is, the more amenable to requests like that the mind is. So you can use this kind of request for each of these three steps. So as we did in the guided meditation, I said, you know, you can just drop that request, may the body relax, into the mind and body, and just see what happens. May the mind relax. Same thing. Then you can also, in terms of connecting with the breathing, use a kind of request also. Again, this has worked for me. Again, when the mind settles down a little bit, I use that, may the body relax, may the mind relax. And then instead of pointing the mind at where I think I want it to pay attention, I usually pay attention here. Instead of kind of consciously, kind of like I've got this image of taking my mind and putting it here, you know, kind of trying to do a directing of the mind. Instead of doing that, I just stay open and then make a request. May the attention rest with the breathing. And I sometimes will include the location. May the attention rest with the breathing at the sternum. And if the mind is settled enough, it's like that experience of the breathing at the sternum just pops into awareness. And I don't have to actively do it. Now, as I said, my mind tends to be a little overactive. And so finding ways that are less directive. And when I direct my mind to do things, it tends to get the mind very agitated. And so finding ways that are less directive have supported me. And again, you know, probably roughly half of you have a mind sort of that way, and the other half of you probably have a mind that's a little more naturally relaxed. and that you need to add a little bit more intentionality to directing the attention. That's why I'm offering these two sides, to offer different ways to settle the mind into the breathing. So we can use that request, you know, may the attention rest with the breathing. And then see what happens. See if that works for you. If not, then you can consciously direct the attention. And then likewise with the comfortable breathing, rather than manipulating the breathing, you could make a request. May the breathing become comfortable. And when I do this, I find that the rhythm of the breath can change slightly. And so again, I don't have to consciously do it. So for me, these requests are kind of a more intuitive approach, rather than saying, you know, to the mind and the body, you need to do this. It's more of an invitation. Are you willing to engage with the breathing? Are you willing to find a way to breathe that's comfortable? And I often find my mind is much more amenable to that kind of approach. And then we can blend these tools. We can, at times, use the conscious directing approach, and then at other times, try bringing in these resolves. That's kind of the way we did it in the guided meditation. We started with the conscious relaxation and then brought in the request. Resolve is another use, another way to describe what that is. I like the term request a little more than resolve. Resolve has a little of a harsher sound to it. So all minds are very different. Your mind will be different at different times. And so exploring these tools, exploring the ways to connect with the breathing, the key really is around this relaxed attention. So just exploring and seeing what works for you. How can you connect with the breathing in a relaxed way? So as I started this discussion talking about the connection between the breathing and the mind, you know, that when the mind has got an emotion in it, it may impact the breathing. Well, in my own experience in the playing with the breathing, I've also found that there's a very close connection between the breath that becomes comfortable and at ease and easeful, and the mind at ease. That essentially, the more comfortable the breathing, the more comfortable the mind. And the more comfortable the mind, the more comfortable the breathing. So we can approach this comfortable breathing also from either direction. We've been exploring in what I've talked earlier, just a few minutes ago, we've been exploring it from the side of the breathing, you know, changing the breathing, altering the breathing, requesting the breathing to become more comfortable. Another way to approach this, completely different angle at this, is to see for yourself what is it that makes the mind feel more at ease. And this was kind of a revelation for me when I discovered this. Nobody told me to try this, but kind of out of desperation, because I tended to get myself tied up in knots with concentration. You know, it'd be like I'd focus on the breath, and then it would just get tight and constricted, and then it would just get tighter and constricted the more I tried to not have that tightness. It was all just a kind of this feedback loop of tightness and constriction. But as I began playing with this comfortable breath, I really saw that there was a mental relaxation that was kind of very directly connected with this relaxed breathing. And so I saw that there was this link between the mental relaxation and the relaxation of breath. And then at some point, You know, I'd get myself all tied up in knots with the breath, and I would just say, okay, you know, I just need to go back to my open awareness practice because I'm all tied up in knots here, so I'm just gonna relax. I'm just going to relax the mind for a little while and not try to pay directing attention at anything in particular. And then I would find that the mind would, you know, settle down, it would relax, it'd get calm again, and then I would notice that it was much easier to be with the breathing. And then I would go back to that focusing on the breathing again, and then I'd get myself tied up in knots again. It's like, okay, I'm going to go back to that open awareness again. And after a bunch of times back and forth like this, and this typically, this back and forth that I was doing on this one long 3-month concentration retreat I was working on, this was typically over a couple days, you know. I'd get myself all tied up in knots, and then I'd go back for a day of open awareness practice, and then I'd go back to the breathing. And I'd almost always see that after I had been doing the open awareness practice, there was just like this natural ability to be with the breathing for a certain period of time. And so I learned for myself, it's kind of like I thought, well, duh, you know, maybe I should start there. Maybe I should try to integrate them as opposed to, you know, doing it a day of open awareness and then try 3 days of breathing. Maybe I should every sitting try starting with open awareness. And so I started doing that. I started finding the place where my mind was comfortable. And that is to, for this mind, it is with open awareness. And so I would settle in, the mind would be comfortable. And then, you know, so in that open awareness practice, basically it's kind of a flow of changing experience. It's just a stream of whatever is going through the body and the mind. And then at some point in that stream of experience through the body and the mind, there would be a breath. And it would be comfortable because the mind was comfortable. And then it would be kind of like I just kind of incline the mind to stay with that. Just gently ushering the mind in that direction. And so for me, this was quite a discovery, in effect, that starting with the relaxation of mind allowed the comfortable breath to just be there. And I didn't have to do any adjusting. You know, once the mind was comfortable, the breath was already comfortable. So for you, it might be something else. I mean, it might be that hearing is something that makes your mind feel really relaxed and at ease. You could start with hearing. And then from that place, kind of at least in my my way of understanding how my own mind did this, was like in that place of open awareness, the mind was paying attention to all kinds of things, but it was paying attention in a relaxed way. So it understood, the mind understood relaxed attention in the space of open awareness. At least my mind understood relaxed attention in the space of open awareness. I could be attentive to experience and relaxed. And then the key was trying to bring that feeling of relaxed attention to the breath. And so perhaps for you, paying attention to hearing might be a way that you can connect with relaxed attention. And if that works for you, you could start with hearing and then gently see perhaps if you could, you know, recognizing the way the mind can pay attention to the hearing in a relaxed way, can you then turn that kind of attention to the breathing? Something you could play with too might be paying attention to the breathing and the hearing at the same time. See if you could slowly kind of move towards the breathing while you've got that spaciousness around hearing. So whatever for you allows you to feel, your mind to feel somewhat relaxed. It might be for you, you know, a walk in nature first would be helpful, or whatever works for you. Just exploring in your own experience what helps your mind to relax and seeing if you can then open to the breathing from there. So if you're doing this, you know, walking in nature, You could go out for a walk and find that your mind becomes very open and relaxed, just looking at the trees and feeling the breeze, and then staying with that experience of nature, then seeing if you could include the breathing in that experience. So finding a way to learn how to apply that relaxed attention to the breathing. Now so we've been talking kind of about the container of meditation, this relaxed attention. We kind of need to track whether we are staying in the container. Sometimes we can agitate ourselves out of the container through over-efforting. Sometimes we can kind of slosh out of the container through under-efforting. And so we need to kind of keep track of that level of effort and how, are we more relaxed than attentive? Or are we so attentive and focused that we've lost the relaxation? So finding the balance between those two. So from my own experience, it seems really helpful to check in regularly about this, that it's so easy for our habits of mind to kick back in without our consciously being aware of them. If you tend to be an over-efforter, within minutes of setting up this relaxed attention, if you're not kind of tracking it, it's likely that you'll just be right back grabbing on to the breath. And so that's another thing that I've really learned is to, you know, especially at the beginning of a period of practice, to kind of with every breath, you know, kind of check in. Is this relaxed? Is the attention relaxed? Is it attentive? You know, to kind of see, you know, check the balance of those two with every breath. If it is tight or restricted, I don't even try to stay with the breath. I go back to relaxation. So that relaxation for me is really the ground that this whole container rests in. So if you've got the other way of, you know, if your mind tends to be more relaxed than attentive, then you can, see if you can just gently direct your attention over and over again. As I think I said during the guided meditation, you know, we don't have to try to tightly hold on to the breath to stay attentive with it. We can, with every breath, just a really light touch, that kind of that float staying just with the surface of the breath. Every breath, just a light touch to that connection. And then just reminding yourself over and over again. Light touch, stay connected. Every half breath. And that is a kind of a directing of the attention that will keep the alertness going without it tending to get overwrought. So I had a little bit more to talk about, but I want to stop there and just see if there's any questions or comments about what I've said.
I'm glad that you talked about this tonight because I've been thinking a lot about this. And so much of the focus is on paying attention to the breath that I think it's true that the mind is just trying to pay attention to the breath and it's not as relaxed as possible. But I have found in my own way, I think what you've described as relaxed awareness. And so there's just what I've been noticing, that my mind will get really relaxed. And what happens, it might be something you described, is all of this stuff just, I call them floaters because I don't know what else to call them. Everything just sort of floats by through my mind. Just all the little weird stuff from the day, little weird stuff from yesterday or whatever. And they just they just float by. And while they're floating by, I'm aware of them, but I'm also really relaxed in my breathing. Every now and then I'll latch on to one, and then I realize I've latched on and I let it go. But it seems like it just keep the, it just like kind of like, is that what you call the stream? It's like just they just float by. They come and they go and they come and
yeah,
they go.
Yeah, that sounds very similar to what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's not just mental stuff in my experience, though. It's also bodily experience. And
yeah, and yeah. I'm finding that it's really easy, like for me, really easy to do like that whole body breathing.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm most comfortable.
Uh-huh.
And I'm doing the whole body breathing, and all this stuff is just floating through. But I feel really relaxed. And then sometimes I kind of worry, well, maybe I shouldn't let this, you know, like, is that, I guess it's okay. I know, maybe
so
you
the,
should shift into something
the,
else.
The emphasis, I mean, you know, you could play a little bit with the emphasis. So once you get to that really relaxed place, you could, you know, see if you can, you know, move into that experience of the whole body breathing a little more fully.
Yeah.
With that relaxed attention. And as I was saying, you know, if you notice in trying to incline your attention a little more fully in there, it gets tight, let it go. Just go back to that relaxed place.
How else can you describe tight? I mean, that's your word, but is there another way to describe that?
Constricted, restricted, tense. It feels narrow sometimes, like I'm trying to exclude things, push things away.
Sometimes I think I'm breathing like up here.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've actually kind of learned to like shift my, you know, catch myself and just shift it down into the whole body.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of cool. It's like a flip.
Uh-huh.
Can't always do
yeah.
it, but it works.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah. So, okay. So that's kind of like a natural phenomena of what we're supposed to
do. Yeah. And it sounds like you said, you found your own way into this relaxed awareness. And from that place, so what I'm suggesting is from a place of finding that relaxed awareness, then you can begin to choose what to do with that relaxed awareness. So to be a little more attentive to particular aspects of experience, starting with the breathing. So that's, but again, the relaxed awareness, the relaxed attentiveness is the most important, that's the container, that's the most important piece. And then once you get that container, you can start playing in that container. So
I'm not sure what that means.
So once you can get that relaxed alertness, then you might, for instance, you could start playing with, okay, can I turn my attention to notice the breathing for one, but then maybe I could open to hearing. Maybe I could explore hearing, or maybe I could begin to explore this quality of pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. Other aspects of the Buddha's teachings.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, because you don't always know what to do next.
Yes.
I mean, you reach a certain level where you're comfortable and it's working, and then it's like, well, where do we go?
Yes, and sometimes people end up in a plateau there. So the first place to explore would be, I think, you know, can you find a way to stay with that relaxed attention and begin to investigate something? The breath might be the thing for you to start with, because you have that sense of that whole body breathing.
And then those little floating thoughts still sort of are there, but then you can kind of like allow them to be there.
Yeah, just let them be in the background.
Yeah. And then you can
be a little bit more into the... So it's just a shift of emphasis. Yeah. Well, she touched on something that I wanted to touch on, so since there's no... questions immediately, I'll take a couple minutes to talk about different ways of attending to the breath. She talked about the whole body breath. That actually for me is also, you know, kind of a nice practice. But we can also, you know, attend to a small area. You know, a lot of people like attending right at the tip of the nose. You know, that it's very easy to stay right at the tip of the nose. And in fact, for some people, that's the way to a relaxed mind. starting there with the nose, the nostrils, and you know, just yeah, oh thank goodness, I don't have to pay attention to anything else. All I have to do is pay attention to that, and then the mind settles down. So for some people, that's the avenue to relaxed attention. So we're all different. Find what it is for you. So you know, start. So there, it can be the sense of, you know, focus at the nostrils, perhaps at the, you know, the sternum, or at an area of about the quarter at the size of the abdomen. I spent a lot of time paying attention to that object down there. And again, in my early meditation, what I tried to do with a small object like that was like narrow the attention and try not to pay attention to anything else. And that was not so helpful. So what I've come up with two ways that are helpful for me in terms of, you know, bringing my attention to a smaller object without the sense of, you know, kind of trying to do this, you know, put it under a microscope and just look at that one thing. So instead of thinking about narrowing the attention down to that small quarter-sized area, see if you can think instead of that small quarter-sized area becoming really big, becoming as big as the whole room. So allowing that sense of the breath at the nostrils or at the abdomen to get big. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like zooming into it in a way. You know, kind of like, you know, if you take a photograph and you want to look at a small piece of it, you can expand that section on the computer screen and look at it more closely. It's kind of that. Just allow that experience to get really big. And if you have a sense of the, you know, the awareness, rather than thinking of narrowing the awareness down, thinking of allowing that experience to expand to fill the awareness. For me, that's been really helpful. The other way that I've found helpful in terms of allowing the attention to come to a small area is to see if I can, and try this right now as I just say this. So find a place to pay attention to the breathing. Or pick a place where you will pay attention to the breathing, but don't pay attention to it. Okay, that's part of it, right? Don't pay attention to it. Let your attention kind of be broader. And then, you know, so see if you can, pay attention to it, not directly, but as if it was kind of out of the peripheral vision. You know, so, you know, just right now into your vision right now, you know, if you're looking forward, you can kind of still see things on the sides, right? I mean, and you can, you know, like right here, I can see my fingers wiggling, even though I'm not looking at them directly. And I can have my attention on those wiggling fingers, even though I'm not looking at them directly. So it's kind of like letting the experience come in from the periphery. You can do that same thing with your attention. So see if you can allow your attention to take in that experience of breathing, wherever you picked, as if it was peripheral attention, not looking at it directly. You might even like look just off to the side of it. See if you can connect with it in that way. For me, that was another trick that seemed helpful. For some of you, that may be helpful. For some, not. You know, it's just a. You can find your own tricks. And then there is the sense of the breathing through the whole body. So you can look at the breath in a very small place, or you can also feel the breath through the whole body. And you can explore this by starting by connecting with a specific area, like the nostrils, but keeping the attention really broad. You know, not restricting the attention just to that area, kind of keeping the whole body in mind and paying attention to that area. And you can begin exploring how the breathing impacts various areas of the body. And for me, at some point, I began to kind of just feel this vibratory energy that shifts with the in-breath and the out-breath. And I can feel it in the soles of my feet when I breathe. Now, I don't think it's the actual air going in and out my feet, but, you know, I think it might be something like, you know, the breath comes in and comes into the oxygen. You know, oxygen comes into the blood, and the blood quickly spreads through the whole body, and I think the body can feel that. I don't know what it is exactly, but I do feel something. throughout the whole body as I breathe. And that's a very relaxed, for me, that's a very relaxed experience to connect with that whole body breathing.
Can I make
mm-hmm. Briefly, because we have to stop.
One thing I noticed was, too, that, like, let's say I'm in a situation where I'm stressed out, something at work, and I'm really, like, feeling agitated. If I go, if I take a moment then to breathe, to relax, I find that my concentration is much better, and I'm not just, I can do that and focus on the breath so much easier than if I'm relaxed.
Uh-huh.
Why is that?
I'm not sure. So we do need to stop. It's a little after 9, so thank you for your attention.